abortion ruling, beaches closing. I'm Mike Moss. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a major abortion challenge, has turned down Louisiana's restrictive abortion law. The latest from correspondent Jessica Schneider at the High Court.
The Supreme Court has blocked a Louisiana abortion law from going into effect, and crucially, the Chief Justice here, John Roberts, has once again joined with the liberals in this decision. We're still going through the opinion itself, but this again is significant. This is the second time in 2 weeks that the Chief Justice has sided with the liberals. Last week, it was on DACA.
The Supreme Court is leaving in place a decision that rejected environmental groups' challenges to sections of a wall the Trump administration is building along the border with Mexico. And the court also rejected efforts to prevent the government from moving ahead with federal executions. Doctors and hospitals in Houston say that many of the surging new coronavirus cases there involve younger patients. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis blames younger people for the current spread in his state. But Dr. Anthony Fauci tells the Aspen Institute many of those spreading the disease don't even know that they have it.
20 to 40% of the people who are infected don't have any symptoms. So the standard classic paradigm of identification, isolation, contact tracing doesn't work no matter how good you are, because you don't know who you're tracing. They're out there. They don't even know that they're infected.
Palm Beach County, Florida is closing its beaches, as we hear from correspondent Randy Kay.
Palm Beach County, here where I am, this beach behind me would normally be jammed coming up for the July 4th holiday weekend, but instead, it will be closed. Even without a state mandate, the county is closing the beaches for the holiday weekend. Shows you just how dire the situation is here in South Florida.
A strong Monday for stocks. The Dow is up more than 400 points. S&P up 27. I'm Mike Moss.
Korchak's, his coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
It's Dynavite.
How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Summer is heating up, and there's nothing worse than waking up in the middle of the night covered in sweat. Cool down with huge savings during Purple Summer Sale. The secret to every Purple mattress is the Purple Grid. With over 2,800 open-air channels and naturally temperature-neutral gel, you'll sleep cool and comfortable all night long, all summer long. Take advantage of these once-a-year savings at Purple today. Go to purple.com to save on your Purple mattress. That's purple.com. Terms apply.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Representative Joanne Osborne and Tim Dodd and Senator Sina Kerr are Yuma's conservative team for the Arizona legislature. Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn understand that we need agriculture and strong water policy to protect the future of Yuma County. Tim Dunn and Sina Kerr have spent their careers in agriculture. Joanne Osborne owns a small business and was the outstanding business leader of the year. Our conservative team will fight to protect our military bases while holding the line on unnecessary spending. They have worked with Governor Ducey to cut burdensome regulations and at the same time provide our children's teachers the pay raises they deserve. Their opponent deeply cut education funding and voted for special interest tax cuts that raised our property taxes. Tim Dunn, Joanne Osborne, and Sina Kerr are the right team for Yuma. Please vote for Tim Dunn and Joanne Osborne for the House and Sina Kerr for the Senate. Paid for by GPL Committee for Arizona Leadership, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny today with a high of 96 this afternoon, 70 the overnight low tonight, 100 and sunny tomorrow, 73 for tomorrow night, sunny and 102 on Wednesday, 76 on Wednesday night. Winds out of the west at 10 for the next 3 days.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. I'm Sean Garner, attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I'm in studio here with Russ Clark.
Good morning, sir. How are you, man?
I'm fantastic.
I got that email you sent me, too.
Good. So this morning is one of my favorite times of year to present on the radio because it's the week of the 4th of July.
Okay.
And the 4th of July is my favorite holiday. It's my favorite for a lot of reasons. It's summertime, it's barbecues, it's time with family.
Right.
But most of all, I'm immensely grateful for the opportunity to live in a free country, to worship as I see fit, to raise my family with the opportunity to get an education and to earn a living for themselves and for their posterity, and to manage the property and own the property that they earn. And that can't be said for many, many people around the world.
The most of people around the world, yeah.
And we owe that to our founding fathers and the patriots that shed their blood to establish this land of freedom, right. To God for allowing these men to assemble and designing this assembly of all of these very intelligent men, probably the most intelligent minds of all time at a single location.
Young minds.
Exactly. And it's unprecedented how many of these scholars collected together at a single point in time to put together the documents that are the foundation of our government, that allow us to have these freedoms and liberties that we are celebrating on this 4th of July.
Right.
So, speaking of, we're going through unprecedented times, and people are sick and tired of hearing of COVID-19. They're sick and tired of hearing about lockdowns and curfews and masks. But guess what? We're going to talk about freedoms and how they relate to the times that we're in today. And we're going to focus more on the freedoms than we are on the restrictions.
Sure.
But I think it's worth mentioning that how much of these freedoms are we giving up, and at what cost, with having these masks and these curfews and whatnot that are mandated by the government. Now, what I want to make clear from the onset is that I am not against staying at home if you're sick or if you're at high risk of a complication from either influenza in general or COVID-19 or any other disease that could be easily spread in public. That just goes to common sense. If you've gone through chemotherapy because you have cancer and your immune system is compromised, you're going to stay home, okay? You're going to take precautions. Your family around you is going to take precautions. But there is no government action involved in that. Now, this isn't one person getting chemotherapy. This is multiple people with a very easily spread disease. But we are still a freedom-loving people, and freedom has given us what we have today. And we've never obtained freedom in the history of mankind without bloodshed. And when we give it up, it requires that again to obtain it. And so when we are giving up our freedom in exchange for a brief period of safety, it calls into question whether or not we're giving it up for a worse outcome down the road, a right. worse fate that awaits us.
Secure worse than the disease. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So there's a couple of things that I'd like to do. Mayor Doug Nichols was interviewed on CNN last week.
I've never heard it. I heard about it.
Okay, good.
It'll be first time for me.
So maybe a lot of our listeners have heard about it, and I think it was a very unfair, one-sided, and basically an entrapment of an interview, and I'd like to play it on the air.
Want to do it right now?
For our listeners to hear, and then let's pick it apart and see what we think.
All right. New coronavirus cases, hospitalizations are surging in Arizona, but the politics overwhelm it. The mayor of Yuma, Arizona is Douglas Nichols. He was at the roundtable with the president today, and he joins us now on primetime. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks for having me.
In terms of your community, we have the cases for people. Arizona has been hit hard, more in the bigger population centers. Yuma is starting to feel it. A little bit more acutely, you've got about 185 cases today, up from 152 cases yesterday. Four new people have lost their lives over the past few days. How great is your concern?
Our concern is great. We just did pass a mandate to wear masks. And at the meeting you were talking about, we did wear a mask until we were all socially distant. And then when we were sitting, so when people stopped moving around is when my mask came off.
Oh, I didn't see it in the footage, but I appreciate you giving the clarification. You say that you guys just passed the measure. You were against it, the measure to not have to mandate masks, were you not?
I did vote against it, but I do fully support wearing of masks. What my concern wasn't wearing the mask. It was mandating it by government, that people really need to take ownership of the issue. Government should not be telling us absolutely everything we need to do. We need to understand what the experts are telling us and then take that personal responsibility to make that happen.
Are you against the Arizona helmet law?
No, sir.
Are you against the seatbelt law?
No, sir.
So why would you be against masks if not for a naked political play?
Well, it's not naked political play because I'm not doing anything on the national scale. I was voting in a local election, or I'm sorry, in a local action. Mm-hmm. And if I was against it, I did not need my council to vote. I could have put the document out that said we didn't need to mandate masks, but instead, I went through the democratic process. We had our council convene. We voted on it, and right after that meeting, I crafted the language and issued that document to make masks mandated in the city of Yuma per the direction of our elected council.
Why am I wrong to suggest that you're trying to have it both ways? That you did the right thing by the community, which is make sure that masks are mandatory so you can save some lives. And at the same time, as a Republican, check the box that you say what Trump wants you to say by voting against it.
Well, I don't know about what the president wanted me to say today, or I'm sorry, last Friday. I'm not sure what he wanted me to say. These are things as the mayor and in a proclamation of emergency status that we've been in the last few months. I'm very concerned about overreach. I'm very concerned about the government having to be the end-all, be-all for everything. We're a nation of people, not a nation of a government. And so the people need to own this action, not the government. So as the person that had to enact this and has that responsibility, I wanted to be clear that it's not something that I'm looking to lord over people, that this comes down to the individual.
But Mr. Mayor, that's exactly what it is. Is something that you have to lord over them because it's like a seatbelt. It's like a helmet, except by doing this, you not only help keep yourself safe, but other residents and their families and vulnerable loved ones as well. Look, they can come after you for how long you close the schools, for how long you keep businesses closed, for what you do with state services and functions. That's the government making decisions about when it's going to provide or not provide services. But when you know
that the only thing that we have going for us that you can control is what you do with distance and what you do in terms of controlling your own face space, why would you see that as a liberty issue and not a necessary emergency measure?
Well, I see it as it is a necessary measure, and it's the necessary measure that each one of us has to take. We all have to eat. We all have to do those things that keep us healthy. We all have to take the medicine. There are no laws that make those happen. Those just happen.
But you can't make me sick by how you decide to eat. You know, you're not three Big Macs for making me fat. Right? This is something different. This is what, and look, you know this, Mr. Mayor, because you made sure that the council was allowed to vote and did the right thing. Why would you vote against something that you engineered to happen in the first place? Doesn't make any sense.
I did not engineer it. It is something that I put before the will of the people.
Right.
We opened up the outreach to the people the day before so we could get as much input as we could get into that decision. And up until just right before the vote, I was debating either way to go on this issue. So it wasn't a pre-engineered, predefined vote.
Except you said you didn't need to do this. You said you could have done it yourself. You did it in the democratic process because you wanted the council to vote. You know they were going to vote in favor of it. So they voted in favor of it. You voted against it. All I'm saying is, Mr. Mayor, you did the right thing. You're keeping people safe in your community. I just don't understand why you'd want to send a mixed message. Last word to you.
I did not know how the council was going to vote. That was debated right there in the meeting. And Arizona has very strict open meeting laws. I'm not allowed to poll my council beforehand. It happened there. It happened there live, real time, in front of the people of Yuma.
What was
so
the vote?
This idea of somehow trying to play both sides just isn't true.
I take your argument. I'm just saying that, you know, you're happy that it happened, but you voted against it. That's why I say it's a suggestion of a hedge. What was the vote on the council?
It was 5-2.
Interesting.
What it sounds like is a very seasoned attorney with somebody up on the stand that's expecting a fair questioning about a subject that has viewpoints on both sides.
Right.
And when that lawyer comes out, he comes out like a pit bull, and he has an agenda, and he has an audience which he's going to pander to, and he proves his point regardless.
I think the mayor held up, but
the way that the reporter Chris Cuomo, if you can call him that, I call him an interrogator. He attacked him in a way that said, "Listen,
he has
this
agenda.
Is wrong. This is right, and this is wrong. And what you did was wrong, and that you voted against it. The outcome was right, and I think you understood that would happen." And you wanted to play it out in a way that would keep you politically safe, that would allow you to say, listen, I'm a Republican, I vote on the side of freedom, I err on the side of freedom, but I'm going to let the Democratic
process play out. But he made a statement, that's what he did. He didn't ask the question. He was not a reporter.
That's
exactly
right. That's right.
Exactly right. You need to take a break, but I do want to discuss this. This is interesting.
We'll come back after this. This is 560 AM, KVLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com. DirtySouth.com.
When hunger hits, take 95 North out of Yuma to the Dirty South Barbecue House. Lunch, dinner, or even a snack at Dirty South Barbecue House. Their racks and butts will drive everyone nuts. It's where everybody cleans their plate.
Hey, y'all, this is Angela from Dirty South Barbecue House. I always got that slow-smoked pork and beef, and you can't go wrong with some good Southern-style barbecue. We always try to make y'all happy, and we want y'all to come back to enjoy some sunsets and some good old music. So I'm very happy to still be coming to y'all out here from the farm. Our phone number is 928-285-2239. We love hearing from y'all, so give us a call. Come on down. Let me put a little south in your mouth, honey.
For pure down-home deliciousness, there's just one place to go. Head north out of Yuma on 95 to the Dirty South Barbecue House, where our racks and butts will drive you nuts, and everybody cleans their plate. New summer hours open Wednesday through Sunday for lunch, dinner, and snacks.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Your body's gonna love this store.
Boost your immune system and fight viruses today the Herbs to Oils way. Herbs to Oils holistic herbal approach to good health is literally a breath of fresh air. The right herbs combined with consistent hydration and good nutrition can make all the difference. For natural and holistic health in Yuma, there's only one Herbs to Oils, Fortuna Palms Plaza in the foothills. Check out their classes every Wednesday and get the whole story at herbs2oilsyumaaz.com.
The claims made in this advertisement have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration or the Federal Trade Commission. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease and are not recommended for anyone under 21 years of age. Check with your physician before starting any dietary supplements.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. We just played the bit from our mayor, Doug Nichols, and his interview with Chris Como on CNN. And it was a very one-sided interview, more of an interrogation than an interview.
More of an attack than an interview, but yeah.
Yeah. And so the points were made that our mayor agreed with the helmet law and agreed with the seatbelt law, then he was completely out of sync and not agreeing with this mask. That's because the helmet law and the seatbelt law were no more infringements on your rights and no more in place for the protection and the safety of the public than the mask law.
Right.
And it's totally different. It's absolutely different.
Absolutely.
Because first of all, the helmet law, you don't have to wear a helmet if you're 18 years old.
That didn't come up.
Okay, you don't even have to wear a helmet if you're 18 years old. So I don't have to wear a helmet. Do I agree with that law? Absolutely. Do I think you should wear a helmet?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's a choice.
And I drive a motorcycle.
Right.
And is a motorcycle more dangerous than a car? Absolutely. But I make that choice to drive a motorcycle. I try my best to keep safe. I don't do it in situations in high traffic areas like Mesa or Phoenix where, you know, you're more likely to get hit. But still, I understand there's a risk involved, and I don't want the government coming in and making my choice for me that, listen, you've got this option for a car or a motorcycle, therefore you're going to drive a car. And by the way, you're going to stick a helmet on your head, and you're going to dress in full leather, and you're going to do this because we care about your safety, and the government is more capable of making decisions for you than you are. So I don't agree with that at all.
Como obviously does believe in an anti-state. And I'm surprised he didn't stop with the helmets and seatbelts. You know, let's bubble wrap them. Can't leave your house. And we could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Beyond a mask. But where does it start and where does it end? And I think the mayor had the right idea that it should be personal choices.
And there's another mayor that is in Eager, Arizona, and he has written a letter recently that addresses these issues specifically. And he wrote it in a way that it's almost poetic. So I want to read it in its entirety.
Go ahead.
It says, Dear citizens of Eager, over the past several weeks, I've been asked repeatedly what the town of Eager plans to do about COVID-19, masks, visitors, riots, etc. It is somewhat alarming how many expect and almost invite a more drastic infringement on their freedoms? My response from the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic has been that we will err on the side of freedom. When riots began to riddle the country and our governor took the drastic measure of a statewide curfew, again, I maintain that we will err on the side of freedom. I have received numerous phone calls from reporters and citizens, visitors, and complete strangers to our area asking why the town of Eager has not canceled upcoming rodeos and our 4th of July parade. Again, my response is that Eager will err on the side of freedom. What authority does the town of Eager or any other state or local government have to infringe on the rights of healthy, law-abiding citizens? It bears mentioning that I am not one that believes that the coronavirus is fake, or any one of another dozen of theories disseminating across the internet. COVID-19 is a real virus that unfortunately has drastic negative effects on the health of some of the individuals that contract it. Just as the flu virus, some of those individuals will die. I do not make light of the fact that its effects on individuals and families throughout the globe have been and will continue to be life-changing or life-ending. There are many individuals at risk of serious peril if they were to contract the virus. Those individuals should take extreme precautions. I certainly would if I were in their position. In fact, I would invite those individuals to please stay home, not attend our festivities, but don't ask the government to require it of healthy, law-abiding citizens. If an individual is fearful of contracting the virus, I would invite that individual to take every precaution they deem fit, including wearing masks, gloves, or a variety of other personal protective equipment. Those precautions do not harm me, and I will not judge you adversely for doing what you feel is best for you. But don't ask the government to require it of healthy, law-abiding citizens. As grim as COVID-19 is portrayed under the most drastic scenario, I dare say that we are facing a much more serious pandemic here in America. We are currently in the midst of the nation's first political pandemic. Never before in the history of America has ignorance and bigotry been more celebrated. Never before has our government been more eager and willing to take away freedoms from the citizenry. Never before has the citizenry been more willing to give them up. Benjamin Franklin warned, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." I believe this warning is as applicable today as it ever was. Some will say of these safety measures that they have not impacted individual liberty. To them, I would quip Thomas Jefferson, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. The right to move about freely in public is one of the cornerstones of American democracy." In a panicked frenzy created by the media, state and local governments have trampled that right wholesale. History will not judge us kindly for our actions over the past several months. In closing, where would America be if our ancestors that pioneered the countryside facing a mortality rate that would make the coronavirus look like a scratch had simply given up, turned back, or laid down and died out of fear? Where would America be if its brave servicemen and women throughout history have on occasion faced odds of almost certain death, simply refused to fight out of fear? When did we stop being the land of the free and the home of the brave? Take charge of your own life. Nobody owes you anything. The government has never been more ill-equipped to solve your problems, nor is it its function to do so. This is America. Stand up and be somebody. Be brave. Live free.
Wonderful letter.
This was Mayor Bryce Hamblin of Eager, Arizona. And I think the mayors, the governors, the legislatures, and the public in general have a wonderful lesson to learn from this, that our ancestors laid down their lives. They pledged their fortune, their honor, their lives to this cause of freedom. And they signed their names to the Declaration of Independence, knowing that it would cost all those things and may do so.
And now we're tearing down their statues.
And now we're and we're imposing and infringing on the rights. And not only that, the government has always been eager to take as much power as it could. What concerns me is the citizens' willingness to give up their freedoms. I agree wholeheartedly with what Mayor Nichols was trying to say. What he was saying is, I believe that masks are important. Yep. I believe that masks may save lives.
Yep.
It's just not my position as a government official to tell you what to do for your safety. If you think that it's appropriate, put on a mask.
And each business can decide. Some businesses, like your business, you have precautions.
Right.
Yep.
And the essential freedoms that we enjoy, the right to own property, to support our own families, that is something that we look to our country in an endearing way to support and to protect. And when they say that we can't go to work, providing for our family is essential, and that is taking away an essential freedom. And whether it be a barber shop or a law firm or a catering house or a restaurant, those are essential freedoms for those families that have put their all into that business. And their patrons can decide for themselves whether or not it's a risk too great to go to those organizations and to buy the food there or to organize there, and more so assembling at church.
Right.
So those are the issues that gravely concern me, that not only is the government willing and able to take those away, but they're only able to because we, as the citizens of this country, are allowing them to do so.
You need to take a break, my friend.
This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
When hunger hits, take 95 North out of Yuma to the Dirty South Barbecue House. Lunch, dinner, or even a snack at Dirty South Barbecue House. Their racks and butts will drive everyone nuts. It's where everybody cleans their plate.
Hey, y'all, this is Angela from Dirty South Barbecue House. I always got that slow-smoked pork and beef, and you can't go wrong with some good Southern-style barbecue. We always try to make y'all happy, and we want y'all to come back to enjoy some sunsets and some good old music. So I'm very happy to still be coming to y'all out here from the farm. Our phone number is 928-285-2239. We love hearing from y'all, so give us a call. Come on down. Let me put a little south in your mouth, honey.
For pure down-home deliciousness, there's just one place to go. Head north out of Yuma on 95 to the Dirty South Barbecue House, where our racks and butts will drive you nuts, and everybody cleans their plate. New summer hours open Wednesday through Sunday for lunch, dinner, and snacks.
Citizens Clean Elections Commission has the tools you need to vote informed in elections happening all throughout Arizona. Find nonpartisan information like important deadlines, how to vote early, and election day details all in one convenient place. azcleanelections.gov.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. And we do estate planning, but we're also citizens. And first and foremost, we want to protect our liberties and the liberties of our fellow citizens. And this is the week that we celebrate the independence that was declared and our forefathers that took a stance and pledged their life and their honor and their riches and everything to establish this land of liberty, and felt that liberty was more important than life or fortune or honor. And so they went forward and did that, and we celebrate that. Now, many of us potentially don't. We forget that. And we feel that it's just granted that we live in this land of liberty and that we can play fast and loose with the freedoms that we have and give them away and take them back as we see fit or as the government sees fit. And that is something that never has been and never will be. The government will take away freedoms and liberties, but they will never give them back without bloodshed. And that is exactly where what we're trying to avoid is death, right? Death because of this coronavirus. But what we're giving away is liberty that is going to require the lives of many of our faithful servicemen to obtain back. I mean, that I honestly, and I know that that sounds very drastic, but that's what it took to obtain liberty in the first place. How can we possibly think that it's going to be reacquired without the same sacrifice and the same fight as it was acquired in the first place with? So, with that in mind, I've got this quote from Abraham Lincoln that talks about the liberties that we've had, and the type of nation that deserves these type of liberties and the type of nation that we are. And we need to reflect on that and determine whether or not we're going to continue pursuing liberty or we're going to give it up in exchange for a little bit of peace and safety.
You know, you have a nurse from the hospital listening to you.
Okay.
She agrees with you.
Interesting.
She says, you quarantine the sick, not the healthy. And she loves the letter you just read. Quarantine did flatten the curve. We're now experiencing the first wave. I will vote for Mayor Nichols. Council, not so much.
Thank you. Mayor Nichols, I just, if you're listening out there or if anybody wants to pass this message on to you, I thank you for the position that you took in voting against masks, the position that you took in not mandating them yourself. You could have mandated them yourself, but you understood that that was not your role as a governing official. Mm-hmm. You put it before the council and you let the council vote, and I think that was appropriate. I don't agree with the vote of the council, but I am a law-abiding citizen, and I will go along with it. However, it is coming very close to that point where enough is enough, and I feel that those infringements on my personal freedoms are too much. What the curfew that was imposed by the governor, I felt, was too much.
Yeah.
Over the break, I asked you, Russ, if you had ever experienced a curfew being imposed before in your lifetime.
Just as a kid, you know, when military bases they had for just kids. But there was never curfews for populace, no.
I had never experienced that. I've heard about it a lot, and I'm a student of World War I and World War II and the other great conflicts, and I understood that there were curfews and there were drastic measures that were taken. But what concerns me the most is not just that the curfew was imposed, it was the reaction of the citizenry. Nothing. It was nothing. We went home and we said, okay, there's a curfew. We're going to go home early. The governor's telling us when to go home and go to bed, so we're going to go home and go to bed. And I think the reason that it was taken so easily without any type of pushback was because we were used to being told what to do, where to go, to stay home, not to go to work, not to do the things that we are entitled to do as free citizens of this country. Mm-hmm. And so when we get used to that type of personalized governing, that nanny type of government, then that is where we get in that peril of complacency, and we allow the government to keep sneaking in and sneaking in. It's like the camel that stuck his nose under the tent flap. And
when you saw some of these governors went crazy with it, some governors were more draconian than others.
There were, and our governor Doug Ducey, I think that he was resistant to it, but then he capitulated to the political pressure.
Right.
And I wish he would have taken a stand and not done that.
And I'm sure there was a ton of pressure.
And I'm sure there was. And I can't say that if I were in his position, I would have done differently, but I hoped I would have been.
Yeah.
Because just we as a citizenry should not take those types of, those curfews, those mandates that we have to stay in our home lightly. We are free people. We shouldn't be mandated to stay in our home. We're not at a wartime.
You ever been given a dirty look or somebody said something to you because you were not wearing a mask?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, constantly.
Because all of a sudden they're going to dictate to us how we must be.
A couple of weeks ago I talked about an experience in, I can't remember, as Lowe's or Home Depot. I don't want to disparage either one of them.
I conform to every policy of every business.
But I was in there, and I was going along, and there was some, he couldn't have been older than 18 or 19 years old, but he was an employee of the establishment, and my wife's walking around with a trash can, and I'm walking about 6 or 7 feet away, and he asks her to stop, and I go over to see what's going on. And he's like, hold on. Whoa, you've got to stay at a safe distance. And I'm like, this is my wife, right? I'm going to come, I'm going to see what's going on. And he goes, okay, your husband and wife? Okay, so we've got the facts. Okay, so I'm going to need you to just stand a safe distance away from me and open up the trash can. So we open up the lid of the trash can to show him that we're purchasing this trash can, which is empty, that we haven't stored a bunch of merchandise in it and trying to wheel it out. And I'm okay opening up the trash can at the teller. If they say, hey, can you mind opening the trash can? We open it up, that's fine. But the way that he approached the whole situation was as if he was an officer of the law,
right,
approaching some suspect that was doing some type of sneaky activity, and he was accusing us of compromising not only the goods of his store but the safety of the people around him. And I was like, listen, you're here to help us out, to buy these things. I can buy them at home, and from now on, I probably will. But that just, it struck me as that's the direction that we're going, where people feel just because the government has imposed these requirements, now anybody that doesn't blindly conform is a deviant. And if they're a deviant in that way, then they may be a deviant in other ways, and you need to look at them as suspects. And that really disturbs me.
There is a population out there that's vulnerable, and they should be quarantined.
Absolutely.
Not the rest of us.
They should be. They should take care for themselves.
Right.
And I don't know about the law of quarantining them, but I think that they should wear masks to be socially responsible, and those that are concerned about getting it should wear masks so they're personally responsible. But the government needs to be the government, and they need to patrol the streets and to make sure that those that are committing actual crimes are brought to justice. Those people that are rioting are brought to justice. I think the protection of property is a fundamental right that we have as citizens, and that the police should protect that right, and they should protect it with force. And so when rioters go out there and destroy property, they need to be very serious about putting that riot down with all the force necessary to control that form of lawlessness, but not put all of their time and effort into controlling law-abiding healthy citizens.
Absolutely.
So let me read this quote from Abraham Lincoln. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserves us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, this was by Abraham Lincoln, and he's talking about us as a people. This country was founded on principles of divine guidance, that God is behind this whole work of liberty and freedom, and the founding fathers meeting together at the time they did, when they did, to establish these freedoms. And when the government comes in and says, no, you can't go to church and worship, and especially when they're antagonizing the choir singers for singing without masks. How are you going to sing with a mask on, right? And we have these commentators antagonizing these church choirs for singing without masks. And I'm saying we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the sacrifices of our forefathers that have brought us these liberties and the grace of God that have brought us to this land and allowed us these liberties. And we need to confess, and we need to return back to the fundamentals that establish this land of freedom.
You need to take a break.
This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Representatives Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn and Senator Sina Kerr are Yuma's conservative team for the Arizona Legislature. Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn understand that we need agriculture and strong water policy to protect the future of Yuma County. Tim Dunn and Sina Kerr have spent their careers in agriculture. Joanne Osborne owns a small business and was the Outstanding Business Leader of the Year. Our conservative team will fight to protect our military bases while holding the line on unnecessary spending. They have worked with Governor Ducey to cut burdensome regulations and at the same time provide our children's teachers the pay raises they deserve. Their opponent deeply cut education funding and voted for special interest tax cuts that raised our property taxes. Tim Dunn, Joanne Osborne, and Sina Kerr are the right team for Yuma. Please vote for Tim Dunn and Joanne Osborne for the House and Sina Kerr for the Senate. Paid for by GPL Committee for Arizona Leadership, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
KBLU News Talk 560 is in search of motivated individuals to join its radio and digital marketing team in the greater Yuma area. The ideal candidate will have an interest in helping our business customers succeed, have the desire to be successful, the curiosity to find out more. Computer skills, problem solving, creativity, and dedication are all required. Sound like a fit for you? Apply online by sending your resume to HireMeNow at edbroadcasters.com or go to our website, edbroadcasters.com, and click on Careers. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner, attorney with Deason Garner & Hanson. We do estate planning, and we do it because we think people ought to be prepared for the events in life of disability and death so they can pass along their property and their legacy to the people that they feel deserve it. Oftentimes it's their children. Sometimes it's a great cause, like a charity or an organization that they participated throughout their life. And we do that with an eye towards keeping the government out of your business. And that's where most of our business comes from. Individuals come to us and they say, how can I pass my assets, my estate, as modest or as grand as it may be, to my children, my posterity, without it going through the court system, without it going through probate, without it being taxed by the IRS? And they're very concerned about the government digging into their pocket,
yep,
even after they pass away. And I share that concern with them, and I've made it my life's work to help them organize and get everything in place so they can sleep good at night, knowing if they become disabled, that they've got a plan. They've got somebody that can step in for them and their assets and their life effects and their personal documents are in order well enough that someone can step in and manage those affairs for them. And that helps them sleep better at night. That helps me sleep better at night. I've got the same type of planning that I propose and that I do for all of my clients, I have done for myself, and it helps me sleep better at night, knowing my wife does most, if not all, of the banking, and she sets up all the bank accounts, but I know exactly where to go to find each statement for every bank that we work with, and that gives me peace of mind. It gives me peace of mind that if I were to pass away, that my wife would automatically own and control all my property for the benefit of her and my children. And that if we both passed away, someone that we love and trust would be directly in control of all of my assets for the benefit of my children without the government interfering. And that is the underlying issue. And that is why I love the 4th of July so much. Because the reason I'm able to obtain that property in the first place is because of our founding fathers, is because of the divine guidance of God putting them together at that place at that time, and then following that guidance to establish the Constitution, to first of all risk it all with the Declaration of Independence, and to establish this land of liberty and freedom where we can determine for ourselves whether or not we will be prosperous by our hard work and the sweat of our own brow, or whether or not we're going to be lazy and dependent on others. And that is something that I cherish. And I think that I don't give it as much thought and consideration as I should. And that's why I like to dedicate my radio time, and this time of year specifically, to expressing my thoughts and gratitude to the public about this opportunity. Because not only do I want to avoid government in estate planning, but I want to avoid it in every aspect of my life unless it comes to a criminal that is impeding on my liberties, right? If there's somebody that's breaking into my home or my business from a riot, I want the police that are employed to protect our liberties to go there and to apply whatever force necessary, even lethal force, to protect my property and my family and my right and quality of life.
That's the deal you made with the local government when you moved here.
Right.
They took your tax dollars to pay for a police force, and they're supposed to protect you.
Right. And I want to be able to protect myself as well. And so I own guns, multiple.
Sure.
I own ammunition. I know I'm not an expert in guns, and I don't go to the range every week. In fact, I probably only go to the range once a year. But I do know how to use it. And if there was somebody that was threatening my property and my family, I intend to use it.
Yeah.
And I would expect those people in the government capacity to do so. And so when there are riots that are flaring up around the nation that are threatening the peaceful, law-abiding citizens and their property, I expect the government to impose the police powers to put down those riots and put down that anarchy. And that is what is so disturbing to me, is that I felt that the law was used, or the government overreached in its authority in putting in place these curfews and making me stay home, whereas the lawbreakers, the rioters out there, were free to roam the streets.
Right.
And that was not okay to me.
George Washington had some rioters once, whiskey tax. He jumped on horseback and said, come on, guys, let's go shut it down.
That's right.
He did.
And I know that. And he used the federal troops to do that, because they needed to establish a precedent that this is not only a freedom-loving country, but a law-abiding country.
Right.
And I want to be and am a law-abiding citizen. But you can only push so far and keep me in my home so long and keep me away from my business and maintaining the career and what I do to provide for my family before that abiding by the law conflicts with being free and a citizen of the United States with the liberties that have been granted to me under the Constitution.
Right.
I believe the Constitution to be a divine document. I don't believe it just to be another law that was established to create the outline for the establishment of government. And I don't think that, that many pundits today talk about it or treat it as such. I think that they look at it as any other document that was drafted by mortal men and that ought to be revised from time to time. The law, in itself, it was created over 200 years ago, and at the time, it was over 13 states and only, 13 million people? I've got some statistics here.
I didn't even think it was that many, but okay.
4 million, you're right.
I was going to say, it's like
13 states and 4 million people.
Yeah.
Today, it covers over 50 states and 20 million people. And the wisdom of these delegates that was shown in the genius of that document, that the founders had this strong distrust for the centralized power of federal government, that they created a government of checks and balances where Congress made the law and legislatures made the law, and then the executive power enforced the law. But the executive power doesn't make the law and enforce the law and then provide execution on judgment as to whether or not the law was abided by. We've got courts and we've got legislation and we've got the executive power all for that, and they're separated for a reason.
Right.
And when we see that one power, whether it be the government, whether it be the governor, or whether it be the president, just the executive power, both implementing and executing and judging on those laws, that is abuse of power, and that is contrary to the Constitution and our liberties. And so I think that we need to just stand up and look back. If we don't know the law, then we can't be expected to be protected by it. So study the Constitution and give thanks to our founding fathers that gave their all to provide this document and to God who inspired them to draft it. So until next time, and have a happy 4th of July week. We'll talk to you. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
By the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
from the One Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.